Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hey, hello everybody. Live from a winter's day here in Chicago, it's the Sports Doctor. Welcome everybody. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. And wow, it's Super Bowl Sunday coming up. What a crazy weekend that was of football. A couple of overtime thrillers. You can see why we talk all day about head concerns, why it's so popular. Great doubleheader today. We're going to start off with John Perna. John is a former Division I NCAA golfer and professional. He's the author of this really interesting book. Everybody who listens to the Sports Doctor knows how I like high-performance youngsters and kids developing golfers into players. And he's the CEO of the Players Service. And then we're going to have Lance Dreher. Lance is a former Mr. America, Mr. Universe. He went on to get a PhD in nutrition. He is a fellow inductee, my classmate, in the 2019 National Fitness Hall of Fame class. So it's going to be great to talk with him. And then, as everybody knows, it's Sports Doctors In, and we'll answer some emails. Talk on some upcoming shows. First, I want to welcome John Perna. Hey, John, welcome to the Sports Doctor.
Thanks, Doc. I appreciate it. I'm excited to be here.
Yes. You know, again, like I mentioned in the intro, John, I want you to give us a little bit of background in you as a player. You're a young guy. You developed the coaching philosophies into the book. Give us some background on what you're doing.
Yeah, I played college golf at Florida Gulf Coast, and I was fortunate enough to be ranked in the top 30 in the country there. And from that, I was able to turn professional and play for a few years. After a failed playing career to get on the PGA Tour, I decided to develop a training program for golfers that wanted to develop into highly competitive golfers, and here I am.
Yes, and you know, it's interesting, going way back before when you were playing, when again we saw some of the best athletes in all sports, it was always a good question, which is, you know, how much of an athlete are golfers? I mean, you take a look at the golfer today compared to a couple decades ago, they're unrecognizable. Golfers are real athletes, and one of the most popular chapters in my book, John, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, the chapter is called The Prodigy Sport, where we talk about youngsters really concentrating on one sport, and golf is right in there, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, concentrating too early.
Yeah.
What's that? I'm sorry.
How young a young player might you be working with and their family this is what they really enjoy, boy or girl, and they're already serious. How young?
Well, for me personally, I don't work with anybody unless they're pretty much in high school. Maybe a few select eighth graders, probably about 14. We do have a developmental course, training course in our program that works with kids as young as 10. But for us, we're kind of focusing more on the highly competitive and at the point where they've decided to specialize. Our philosophy is up until high school, play as many sports as you can. But once they start to get to the teenage years, it's time to specialize. Golf is such a game of skill. You can't play four sports and make it playing golf. There's too much time needed to develop the intricate details of the game. But early on, we're big advocates of play as much as you can and just become a great athlete.
Yes, I think that's one of the major, major keys. My longtime colleague and friend Paul Calloway, who's at the Golf Academy, I think in Cantigny, physical therapist, way back in the Fitness Wagon and the tour in the 80s, he was talking about the athleticism of golf and the amount of injuries that we're seeing with golf and these kinds of concerns and problems. And, of course, now you're only interested in a couple things, like everybody else, whether they're the parent or the coach. One, can I prevent problems? Can I prevent these shoulders, these back, these knee, and other kinds of problems we see as we start to specialize? And two, can I enhance my performance mentally and physically? Again, and John is the author of this great book, Developing Golfers into Players. And talk a little bit about your philosophy of the player service. You know, you talk about it like being a community. You have a whole different concept in some ways about teaching and coaching. Talk a little bit about that.
Sure. I mean, when I, you know, like I said, I kind of failed at the professional level of playing. And, you know, I saw a lot of one-on-one instruction, there really wasn't much of a community. So when I started teaching, I played a lot of sports growing up. I played baseball and basketball. I didn't even start playing golf till I was 14. So I was kind of late to the game. And I felt like we were missing an integral learning opportunity, which is the self-discovery phase. So when you're in team sports, you're playing with others and you're learning from your teammates. You're learning from your coaches. You're learning from experiences. So our philosophy is to kind of treat it like a typical team sport. So we don't do any individual instruction. Everything is in a team environment. It's essentially run identical to a Division I college program. When I got to college, everything was, you know, groups of three, groups of four, small pods. We saw the United States win the Ryder Cup when Paul Azinger put the team into pods. And so there's just a better synergy, and in our opinion, it accelerates the learning process. So that's kind of our community philosophy.
Yeah, I think it's a terrific one. Again, on the Sports Doctor, and everybody listening to the Sports Doctor, I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. Go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com. You go over to radio shows. You can go back over 10 years and listen to some of these great guests and endless topics in all areas, whether it's wellness, fitness, sports medicine, high performance, et cetera. Or you could zip over to newspaper articles and read some great articles on an endless array of topics, one of them being specialization of your son or daughter, how much is too much. One of my most popular articles, which is Women in High Heels Accepting the Challenge. You check that out. We're talking with John Perna, the author of Developing Golfers into Players and the leader of this, or the CEO, the Players Service. Again, John, you know, on the Sports Doctor, we pay a lot of attention to the mental game, regardless of the sport. You talk about that, and, you know, whether you're talking about the team approach. You know, golfers are like tennis players, man. You're like, where are your teammates? You know, man. You don't have any, right? Now, you might have that situation in high school where you're on the team and whatever. Otherwise, if you're a competitive young golfer, you're like kind of on your own. So this philosophy I really, really like. And, you know, sometimes, again, we're looking at body type. We're looking at alignment. We're looking at foot mechanics, all of these things. What's the best shoe for this boy or girl who's playing? What's the role of orthotics with these young kids? All these things are things that you and I have really both paid a lot of attention to. You know, when you say, John, you know, you failed on the pro tour. I wouldn't use that word. You're one out of a million to get there. You know, just to get there, you are a champion. Give me the website, John, of people find out about your book and the player service.
Yeah, it's www.tpsplayerservice.com. So player service, TPS. Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. And, you know, again, that whole idea of looking to enhance performance and, you know, working with these top athletes, again, you see, you know, the nutrition side, the recovery side, the training side. Our friend Bob Guida and Carson, Smith, who have been, you know, showing you some of the stuff I've watched for 40 years, John, give or take a few weeks. You know?
Yep.
When it comes to overall strengthening, and that's why one of the biggest phenomenon in sports medicine we are experiencing now as we watch Tiger Woods be able to return physically to the professional level, let alone win with his three or four back surgeries and all of these things. So that's exciting to see. Boy, he makes a difference in the attention to golf, doesn't he, John?
Yeah, he pushes the needle. There's not many people that push the needle, but he makes a huge impact both economically and growing the game. If you're in the golf business and you're not a Tiger fan, you know, shame on you.
Really? I heard you're pushing the needle. I heard you're pushing needles.
We're trying.
We're trying.
There you go.
Good. So tell me about what you wanted to cover, some bullet points in your book, Developing Golfers into Players, sure. And how that mixes in with developing a top young golfer. Give us some of the things that are in that book with you.
Yeah, I mean, so the book's interesting because I hired a journalist to interview my first 11 students. So I had 11. You know, I started teaching and I started training players, and I was very selective with who I taught. I would interview them. You know, I worked another job at first, so I didn't have to just teach anybody. I wanted to work with people that really wanted to excel. And so the first 11 went through and they had this crazy level of success. You know, we had Division I All-Americans. We've got guys now on the European Tour. We've got guys that have played the PGA Tour. So once they all
That's
got
exciting.
Through college.
That's exciting.
Right. So once they all got through college, I hired a journalist and we interviewed them. So the book, I definitely laid it out, but the tone that the book took was really cool because it was from their perspective. So I wanted to be able to tell their story and then focus on some of the core training concepts that I think are unique to us at TPS. So if you get a chance to read the book, it's not just all about golf. There's some motivational stories, and they can apply to any sport anything you want to do.
Yeah, that's why it's right up our alley with the sports doctor, John. Whether you are a figure skating coach, whether you're a tennis coach of top players, whether you are a soccer coach, I don't want to leave anybody out, volleyball. All that changes when I'm talking to somebody in your position is the uniform in many instances, especially when you're talking about, like you said, working with the top and those kinds of challenges. And that's why I always ask individuals like you in your scenario as a coach and whatever, when you're working with all different ages, especially the younger ages, I always ask you how your sports psychology skills are, John.
Sure. I mean, that's pretty much, if you read the book, I mean, that's pretty much all we do.
Yes.
At some point,
let's
you know,
see.
It's, I mean, if you're worth your weight as an instructor, you can get people to hit the golf ball better and longer and straighter. But the trick is the difference between coaching tournament players versus regular golfers is tournament players have to bring their best out when the pressure's at the highest. So that's probably where with my high-level athletes, I mean, it's a year or two to get their skills to a certain point, and then it's the rest of their careers. My professional athletes, I currently coach 6 professionals, and 90% of our time is spent on mindset, mentality, nutrition, you know, sports psychology, truthfully.
Yes, absolutely. And that's become such a huge thing. An ex-colleague of mine, the late, great, Jim Vickery. Jim was a sports psychologist, although back in the 80s, not earlier, they explored the word psychology, scared people. He called himself a performance enhancement consultant. He wrote a book years ago called Mind Golf, MindGolf. Jim came out of our world of the high-performance athlete yet paid big, big attention. Whether you're dealing, that's one of the big reasons I wrote hashtag Hey Sports Parents, which is that there's an epidemic of overuse and repetitive motion injuries. Golf, you're swinging the club 12 trillion times constantly. So my mentor and great friend Bob Guider would always say, strengthen the brakes, work the opposites, work those stabilizers as best you can, You know, when you're talking about, the physical golf swing puts a lot of stress, let alone you're walking on uneven surfaces the whole time when you're out on a golf course, when we're talking about mechanics and shoes and, you know, feet and ankles. And that's what I'll add to the next chapter of your next book, John.
Very good. Yeah, I'm learning a lot, you know, from our sessions. And, that's a cool thing about working in sports and working in performance. I mean, you just continue to educate yourself and you can learn new things every day. I mean, there's no limit to, you know, like we talk about with me when I work with you with my feet. I mean, you know, even if you're good at something, you can always be more efficient, right? So, I mean,
when we're talking, for example, someone who, for example, might have pronated or flattening type feet might be a superstar, but many times it's despite that, not because of it. So when we start getting into precision of alignment, stability, I look at you the same way as I look at the skater doing a triple jump. How's that foot, knee, leg, back alignment? And with rare exception over the years, I don't care who the kid is, if you put the proper, quote unquote, custom orthotic in their shoes, you'll see a difference. Or if it's in their grandmother, you know, and we're trying to calm her knees down or her feet, right, and legs down. So, you know, you became a champion, and hyperpronation is very, very common. And often it's not like it's symptomatic. It's not like it's some sort of a deformity. It's an overuse kind of a problem. And when you have the responsibility, how old are you, John?
35.
Right, man. You're a young guy. You got the responsibility of some of these great budding athletes as well as some of the great ones, and you want to be able to add this kind of expertise like you're learning, which is, I don't care who you are, strengthen those feet and ankles. And at the same time, you know, John, work that balance, work that stability, all things you're doing individually that I'm counting on you to add to your program, you know?
Yeah, we do a lot of that, and I mean, like I said, it's always fun to learn, and like I said, we've done this a long time, we've had a lot of success, but I can't think of 2 years in a row where we've done the same curriculum. We were always adding new things and refining, and I think that's why I really love the career that I've chosen, because it's never, you know, it's never okay, we figured it out. You know, we're always renting it, right? You never own it, and that's so much fun on a daily basis.
Oh yeah, when you watch, even in the last couple of years, again, the emergence of the real athlete who was playing golf, because he looked like a linebacker or a defensive back, a lot bigger, a lot stronger, with the same touch, with the same skill, or maybe even better.
Yeah.
So that evolving, along with recovery, the importance of recovery, time flew by here with John Perma. Again, former Division I player. He is the creator of the Player Service. John, give me the website again, please, to find out about TPS and the book.
www.tpsplayerservice.com.
All right. Hold on, John. Everybody will be right back. Sports Doctor. Hey, everybody, it's Dr. Bob Weil, a sports doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharky Zartman, hashtag HeySportsParents, an essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharky is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharky talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctor's In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics, third section, experts speak out. We bring together 8 different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parents' perspective, some insights from about 6 parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athlete. Hashtag, hey, sports parents. Hey, everybody. We're back live from snowy Chicago. Dr. Bob Weil. It's the sports doctor. I'm sports podiatrist again. I'm excited to welcome my next guest, Lance Dreher. He is a former Mr. America, Mr. Universe. He went on to become a PhD in the world of nutrition and sports nutrition and weight control. He's a radio host. And he is my my classmate in the induction to the National Fitness Hall of Fame, class of 2019. So, hey, Lance, welcome to the Sports Doctor, man.
Thanks, Bob. How are you doing today in the cold Chicago?
I am. I'll tell you, it's a little chilly this neck of the woods. But give us. I'm going to jump right on. Give us some background with you and how it's moved into what you're doing today, and give us some background.
Well, you know, I've known Bob Guida, of course. You know who Bob is. You worked with Bob all those years. Since the time I've been 17, and I've been in the fitness industry since about that time after getting out of college. I worked for Chicago Health Clubs, Vic Tanney's, Jack LaLanne's, and moved beyond that point. I got into personal training when I moved here in Phoenix back in about 1984. I realized there was something that was missing, and that was the connection between corrective exercise, okay, that we learned from Bob, right, and his exercise theories, the PHA, and the nutritional aspect and the coaching aspect of making people follow through. Because one of the weak links in the fitness industry is the fact that people start and stop all the time. Personally felt that the big problem was the lack of accountability, particularly when it comes to nutrition. And because I deal with people one-on-one, last week I did about 95 training sessions with people. The biggest aspect of it is when they leave. Okay, what did they do when they leave? They go back to the same old bad eating habits.
That's why you got to be a psychologist. That's why we talk so much on the sports, Dr. Lance, whether you're the family of the best athlete in the world or their grandmother or anywhere in between, or the trying to be healthy, stay healthy, the idea of falling back into bad habits. You know, it's interesting today with all of the knowledge and information, it's still eating smarter and keeping moving and exercising is the magic. And, of course, we all know it. The problem, is doing it. When did you meet Guida? I want to see who knows him longer.
I met Bob when I was 17 years old in 1972. It was, I believe,
I think I met him in 76, 77 with sports fitness.
Yeah. Yeah, Quigley North Observatory. He was actually head judge of the Mr. Chicagoland, and I had entered the show. The first show I had entered, I was 17 at that time.
And you were a bodybuilder for how many years?
I started when I was 14. By the time I was 18 years old, I had 20-inch arms.
I remember seeing your pictures. You really were a phenomenon in that world. That's give or take a little bit. Is that how much before Magic Arnold Schwarzenegger?
That was right when Arnold was actually in his prime. That was his big era right there. And I idolized Arnold. I looked up to Arnold, and you know, I wanted to be like Arnold until I met Bob, and I wanted to be like Bob.
Right.
I wanted Bob's brain is what I wanted. See.
Yes. Well, again, Bob and the reason that Bob and I got married is he had such tremendous respect for the role of the foot in everything. And that really brought us to this day. We're still so much on that philosophy, whether you were looking to try to be a step or two quicker, whether you were looking to not put so much stress on the rest of your body, or you were looking to jump 2 inches higher.
Right.
It's a matter of, I don't care who you are, strengthen your feet and ankles. And then the whole idea of balance training was something, you know, like I mentioned with my first guest, John Perna, trainer of very, very excellent young golfers, you know, guy who used to say, strengthen the brakes, you know, work the opposite. So Bob was revolutionary in his thinking of, you know, the right way to train, the safest way to train, regardless of the sport. I think that's what really must have attracted you as a kid to that mode of thinking.
Yeah, absolutely. There's no doubt about it. I mean, I use his philosophy to this very day. But only what I've done is I've adapted it to people in my age group, our age group, baby boomers, people that are over 50, 60, 70, 80. And I adapted his concepts, his approaches to these individuals. And we see tremendous differences with these people. Then on top of it, I put the food aspect in, because most people make themselves sick because of the diets they follow. And highly processed foods, too many carbohydrates, not enough activity to justify that. So we have a tremendous explosion, not only in obesity, okay, but type 2 diabetes, which is about 30 million Americans. 8 out of 10 people over the age of 55, male and female, have prediabetes. And that's because they're eating the wrong type of diet. They'll be on that type of diet the rest of their life because the medical community has not embraced the concept. The fact of the matter is we overeat carbs, too many of them.
You know, it's amazing. You can't watch television for 5 minutes without diet commercials. You can't help but understand the fact. I've been talking, for instance, about childhood obesity on the Sports Doctor 15, 20 years. And the idea that all these years later, where there's a fitness club on every corner, there's all sorts of new education, there's tremendous new awareness, the same percentage of youngsters are still overweight. And as adults, you know, we got everybody, I think, knew, Lance, you know, your PhD in nutrition. I think we all knew growing up that junk food wasn't good and fast food wasn't good. I think what we didn't know was that the good old American diet was not good, period. I think that to this day still surprises a lot of people. Would you agree?
Absolutely, totally, totally. You know, we based the concept on what our ancestors, particularly those that came during the war, right, they ate foods that were inexpensive. What was that? Okay, they ate starches and they ate fat, all right, because they could not afford protein. All right, and so what happened to them? All right, one, they started gaining weight, and then when we got past that point, then we got into the baby boomer generation, my generation, okay, then we started thinking that, you know what, we need to eat more carbs in the diet because fat made us fat. Okay, so what happened then? We had an explosion, okay, in obesity. It's gotten worse than it's ever done before.
Oh, yeah. Okay, now, hey, yeah, low fat.
Yeah.
No
yeah,
fat.
Totally.
Low fat.
Low fat means high carb.
Really. Sugar, the great poison.
You got that
one
right.
Radio host I had the honor of being on Lance's radio show, I don't know, it was a month or two ago, something like that. Mm-hmm. Tell us about your radio show, Lance.
Well, I do. My radio show is on iHeartRadio, which can be picked up all over the country, not only live, but they podcast it too as well. Just go to iHeartRadio and type my name in, Lance Dreher or Dr. Fitness Show, and it will pop up with all my past shows, and you can listen to any one of them you want to. But I've been on the radio here in the Phoenix market since about 1992, and it's evolved. You know, my show's evolved quite a bit. You know, I used to do a lot more with exercise. It involved more into more nutrition and about one quarter of it exercise, because the thing is, the big problem with people is what they eat. Okay, activity, exercise makes you fit. All right, you can't get fit by just dieting alone. Okay, but you can't lose weight just by exercising. So you need those two mixes,
right.
Of course. Most
well, this
people,
is where, again, you know, when we talk about great methods and great education, here's where, again, we end up running into, again, what I've talked about for 1.5 million years, give or take a few weeks, going back that along with radio, like you, is the idea of that eating smarter makes such a difference. There is a scourge, like you mentioned, diabetes or obesity,
terrible.
And they're related. We never totally knew about childhood diabetes.
No.
They had to change the name. So people have to understand that financially, the combination of obesity and diabetes will break us. We won't be able to afford the medical treatment of what's involved. Podiatry, my profession, specializing in sports medicine, mm-hmm. podiatry has always been one of the professions, Lance, that would see diabetes early. People yep. would have numbness in their feet or other kinds of symptoms, et cetera, et cetera. And then all of a sudden, the prevention of amputations and the consequences of diabetes and the blindness, and you mentioned, what was that statistic you gave us of pre-diabetic?
Oh, it's alarming. This comes from the CDC. Men and women 55 and older, 80%, 8 out of 10, are
wow.
pre-diabetic.
Yeah.
8 out of 10.
Now, again,
that's,
pre-diabetic.
That's scary.
Yes, pre-diabetic absolutely means you could do something big about it.
Yes.
One of the concerns many times, again, is overkill, whether we're talking about, you know, he's not going to be a champion or a bodybuilder like you. Over the years, many times, bodybuilding, of course, was looked at a specific thing. It was always a question with how athletic is it,
right.
in that regard. So the challenges many times end up coming back down to that mental component. Like you mentioned, when you're talking about either somebody sticking with your recommendations, whether it's, again, on that physical side, they could be the best athlete in the world, and you can talk to them about strengthening and stability and alignment, or they could be the whole world of sports nutrition is huge today.
Totally. Totally.
You know, I have a gal who contributed to hashtag Hey Sports Parents, Katie Davis. Katie is a wrote her chapter on youth sports nutrition. She called it fueling. You know, fuel. It's a whole different mindset when, you know, if you're thinking about that compared to the culture and the mental side. You know, food is such an emotional thing and whatever for so many people. And that's why, what is your website, Diet Coach?
Yeah. Dr. Fitness, DOCTOR, fitnessaz.com. You have to spell doctor out, DOCTORAZ.com, drfitnessaz.com.
And what's the relationship with the medical community, in your opinion, regarding all of these different topics? Do you find more and more, of course, 20 years ago, medicine didn't know how to spell fitness. You know, there's that one
no,
or two.
Today, well, I get quite a few referrals from doctors, too. So
good.
Because
good.
I help reverse
That's
diabetes
with
individuals. Yeah.
Okay, we're going to be back and grab you for another segment in between. Talking with Lance Dreher, former Mr. America, Mr. Universe, Dr. Fitness. Near Aurora, Illinois, and you're into sports, fitness at any level, or your son and daughter is, you cannot forget about your feet. Your feet affect everywhere else. There are complex motions that come into play, especially in sports. Your ankles, knees, hips, and back all are affected with your foot mechanics. Come visit the office, Dr. Bob, and get evaluated. Check what shoes are best for you. I offer prescription orthotics, which is usually one of the major tools for treatment and prevention of foot-related ankle and leg problems. Also, enhancing performance. Step or two quicker. Call 630-898-3505 or go to sportsdoctorradio.com. Hey, everybody, welcome back. Chicago. It's a sports doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. We're speaking Lance Dreher, former Mr. America, Mr. Universe, really a nutrition coach, sports and nutrition radio host. Lance, I wanted to talk to you a little about in the world of bodybuilding over the years, because one of the chapters in my book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, is youth sports and drugs. This tremendous pressure to play hurt, and let alone performance enhancing, let alone the bodybuilding world has always had that tremendous challenge regarding the world of drugs. How has that changed over all of these years?
Well, I think performance enhancing drugs have been around for quite some time. What I see presently is a whole lot worse than it used to be. It doesn't make it right in the past, but now, I mean, these guys will do anything to win. You can look at how they're performing. Just in the world of bodybuilding, you have guys that are younger and younger dying.
Yes.
Okay, and because
isn't it amazing still, after all of these years of death in the locker room, my old colleague Bob Goldman in the 80s wrote that, and the whole challenge, again, of the overkill, overpressure, and the whole idea, I have actually renamed, Lance, performance-enhancing drugs. Are you ready? Do you have your pen out?
I'm ready.
Performance-surviving drugs.
That's about right.
Yeah, so much in the high world of performance where, you know, I got to understand, doc, unless I'm taking 2-3 pain pills a day, I can't perform, I can't get out there, I can't play. Mm-hmm. Everybody's familiar. But it's filtered down to younger and younger ages where we see, you know, young high schoolers or club volleyball players or soccer players, 14 years old, need 2 Advil twice a day to participate. It's nuts. I know you work with the baby boomers and so much of that population, but baby boomers are parents. You know, many of them are, give them a copy of my book, hashtag Sports Parents.
You got it.
But
you got it.
How do you see that, the attitude of the baby boomers who, you know, you were a champion, how they might be bouncing off you stuff about their son or daughter who's in sports?
Yeah, well, most of them actually, they're at the time of their life with the more grandkids.
Right.
They really don't have much discussion as far as what their grandkids are doing. Because a lot of them, I think that a lot of the kids don't participate in sports like they used to when I was young. You don't see the participation in football like it was in the past because of the brain injuries.
Right. Yes.
A lot of parents, they're getting away from that now because they don't want their kids or grandkids to get injured.
Well, this is one of the great dilemmas, Lance. I talk about it all the time. I've written about it extensively. I had some of the best experts around the world. The great dilemma for us as a society is what are we going to do about tackle football, let alone tackle youth football? There's just no way around the risks, and the more we know, the longer it becomes. So it is a great dilemma. It's the Super Bowl coming, and it's Friday Night Lights, and we're all fans, and we grew up as fans. So this is a major, major challenge. And then again, also, we write a lot about, you know, the little league parents, as we all know them described, the overzealous mom and dad, the pushing of these kids. And also one of the topics before we go, again, the baby boomer overdoing, over pushing. This is common. I would think that they must really talk to you about how much is too much. What are the best ways to stay out of trouble physically?
That's why they come to see me, because some of these, mostly men, have participated in CrossFit and hurt themselves pretty badly.
Right,
CrossFit. You got to be crazy. You're trying to do that swing sledgehammer and flip your tires over 60 years of age.
That's a TV show. It's a TV show. When I first saw the women champions, I was shocked that they were that physical athletic. I couldn't believe the athleticism. Of course, when people try to mimic some of this stuff, it really is ridiculous. But when you're dealing again with the individuals, do you see people privately in an office? Do you talk to people online with some of your consultations?
I've got some people that I deal with nutritionally in other parts of the country. Most of you that are here in Phoenix and Scottsdale, they actually come in to me at least 2 or 3 times a week, where I take them through their exercise routine that's been designed for them, and not some 20-year-old body. And then when they leave here, they're sending me daily journals via text as far as what they're eating, pictures of their food, and they respond back throughout the day to make sure that they're focused on the diet, because 80% of this individual, the results they're going to get is going to come from their food. Okay, so if they lose contact with their coach when they leave here, it's not going to benefit them as much that they had contact with the coach when they left here, when it came to what they're putting in their mouth. And I found over the years that people respond better and follow the program better when they have to actually send somebody what they're eating in a journal form.
Yeah, right.
If they tell you in person, they can fudge their words. But when they send it to you in writing, they're much more honest with themselves.
If you could even find people who are going to follow through on that kind of a program. But I think, you know, and of course you were a champion, and that makes a lot of difference, you know, from what you might expect from the people who are working with you. You don't expect them all to be champions. Of course not.
Absolutely not. They don't want to be like I used to
do. But you do expect, if they want to succeed with what you're doing, whether it's losing weight, getting in better shape, et cetera, you know, you do demand, expect, that they're going to, you know, they can't get away with goofing off. Otherwise, you might fire them, right, Lance?
Yeah, they don't want to let the coach down. That's what they'll say.
For sure. Now, being in your part of the country where you've got, you know, people are so active in Arizona, you know, year round, with the hiking and the walking and all of these, the tremendous, like you mentioned, the tremendous retirement community. Then again, you're a real educator, and it's great to talk to somebody who knows Gaida longer than me.
That makes him really old.
You know, so you're right. You know, he's still setting trends.
I know that.
You know,
totally.
But at the most part, it's interesting how, you know, some of these different philosophies. Again, especially today, every team, serious team, has a strength and conditioning coach, and they've got the sports nutritionists, and they've got sports psychologists. The only thing they do not have is a limit on the demand of schedules. You know, sometimes we see that's a real concern. But like, you know, these are some startling statistics. Like you said, 80% of the individuals that you see, and 80% of most of us, for the most part, really, really, really is diet and what we're eating.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then that other statistic you hit me with, which is the same almost percentage of pre-diabetic, which is a nightmare. And if people will really pay attention, let them look it up, let them find some information, maybe they'll tune into your show. How do they find out more information about you, your show?
Just have to type my name, go Google my name, Lance Dreher, and it pops up all over the place. As far as the show will pop up there. They can go to 550 KFYI Radio, iHeartRadio, and the show will pop up there. Just have to look at programs. Saturday, 3 o'clock Phoenix time, live every week.
Dreher.
Right.
Yes. It's interesting, you know, talking about Bob, and I remember his tremendous interest in the whole world of posing and the whole athleticism. And some of these things where he would be mentoring, again, individuals like yourself as they became more and more and more successful a couple weeks ago, Bill Busby. Do you remember Bill?
I remember Bill, yeah.
Yeah, Bill was on my show. We go back a million years, but these champions in fitness and fitness education over all of these different years. Saturday morning, and you've been on, like you said, since the early 90s.
Right. Long time.
Yes. And since then, you know, the Mr. Olympia, you know, a long time ago in the early 80s, I think was a judge in women's bodybuilding, and no one knew what women's bodybuilding was. It was sort of like the athletic body and et cetera, and then it became almost unrecognizable with the kinds of muscularity that women were able to develop. I'm sure, been amazing even to you.
Yeah, well, that's where the sports enhancement drugs come in, right there. Yeah. Genetically, the women aren't designed for that.
Yeah, you'd think in this day and age, again, with the kind of scrutiny and attention, that there would be much, much less capability to get away with anything close to steroids or performance-enhancing drugs. But in the bodybuilding world, it's still a major hassle.
Well, it's a hassle in pro sports in general.
I was going to say, man. Yes, I was just gonna—I was gonna correct myself, and you beat me to it.
Yeah,
absolutely.
But I mean,
I
used to train one of the head coach for the Phoenix Suns. He was a vice president until he passed away about 10 years ago. And he told me, when it came to testing, these guys, they would grab the guy that sits on the bench and test him. They didn't want to test the stars because they were afraid to test the star. And
let alone
test it positive. They're sitting down.
Let alone the pain again. The probably run out of time, but the pain pill scourge, the opioid scourge. And it's a nightmare in our country, really is pain pills. It was pain pill oriented.
Yeah.
It was post-injury pain pills, post-surgery pain pills, overkilled by a million pharmaceutical available pain pills.
Yeah.
And again, in pro sports, you find many athletes think, I can't play without taking, and this is what I'm screaming about on the sports doctor all these years. I want to break the cycle of the routine use of over-the-counter painkillers and anti-inflammatories in youngsters, again, in high school and below in some of the situations, because, again, of the demand of some of the different schedules. So you must have your share of walkers and golfers and tennis players out in Arizona.
A lot of golfers here.
Yeah.
Big-time golf.
And again, we were talking about initially with John Perna, you know, golfers are athletes in the repetitive motion. And often we see that we need physical supervision and being strong enough to get out on the course once or twice a week or we'll break down, right?
That's exactly it. Totally.
Sounds like the same old argument from the in one regard.
Yep.
So again, they will go to... Give me that site again, Lance, before we run out of time.
Okay, Doctor fitnessaz.com. That's my website.
Great. I want to thank you so much for being with me. Hold on a quick second, Lance. Everybody will be right back with the Sports Doctors in. Everybody, it's Dr. Bob Weil, a sports doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharky Zartman, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, an essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharky is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharky talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? Hey, everybody, we're back live from Chicago, the Sports Doctor, Dr. Bob Wild, sports podiatrist. Check out my website, sportsdoctorradio.com. You could go to radio shows and go back years and see who was on, what the topics were, and listen to whatever you would like in the whole podcast format. You could go over to newspaper articles and magazines and see some of the recent articles I've written in Lower Extremity Review, some other publications, and some real oldies but goodies on everything from concussions to what's the best shoe to one of my most notorious articles, which is Women in High Heels, Accepting the Challenge, the Sports Doctor's In, We're going to preview the next couple of shows and answer some emails. You want to send me an email, drrweil, sports doctor, sportsdoctor at yahoo.com. Next week, I think from Australia, Georgina Barr, Dance Podiatry. This podiatry group in Australia, and they're working with dancers and some of their programs. Going to be interesting. Then coming back, Jasmine Jaffarali. She's going to talk essential oils. Again, a whole another area of interest in the world of wellness. Following week, after this hoopla with the Final Four in the National Football League, Tim Dreyer is a referee for like 30, 40 years, but basketball, but still a referee, and parents and coaches and that whole thing. We're going to bounce off with him. And then Judy Garman, who's written extensively. She's got radio shows talking about wellness as we age, et cetera. So some great stuff. Where am I? Angie said my 10-year-old son is plagued with heel discomfort. He plays soccer. This is the part of the third year we've run into. Angie, there's a big growth center in the back bottom of the heel. And that growth center doesn't come together until your son's probably 15. That growth center is susceptible to stress. Soccer, of course, has cleats sitting right underneath the heel. So you really want to get out of the cleats, get them into a multi-nub shoe. If this is something that's been already a few years, see podiatry. When this is a problem, orthotic solve it. Almost without exception. Of course, I'm prejudiced. I see some of these kids might be 2-3 years older than your son. It plagued with heel discomfort, the growth center, orthotics will solve that problem. But short term, get a diagnosis, see podiatry, and get out of those cleats. Tom, are heel spurs, back to heels, a surgical problem? Rarely. 9 out of 10, even more than that, Tom. Heel spur problems. The heel spurs are a bony growth on the bottom of the heel, sometimes on the back of the heel, from constant traction or attachment stress of the plantar fascia on the bottom of the heel or the Achilles tendon on the back, and constant small micro tears, inflammation. The bone responds with the possibility of a spur. So usually it's not the spur that's the problem, it's the process. So with most heel spurs, we can conservatively, by using orthotics to optimally position the foot, reduce excessive collapse or stress on that attachment, wherever it is, and also include physical therapy, very, very helpful. I can't remember the last heel spur surgery we did. Almost. So if that's the first opinion, get another opinion. Phil said, I'm a 40-year-old runner. I've had long-term runner's knee. I know you've talked about orthotics, right, Phil? I'll tell you again. Long-term runner's knee, when you're mentioning, almost always orthotic will be helpful. You know, you should rest in peace, but one of the fellow inductees posthumously in the National Fitness Hall of Fame this April is George Sheehan. Dr. George Sheehan, the famous cardiologist, but he was also an avid runner. He was the editor of Runner's World, and he's one of the MDs who really put the idea of orthotics and foot mechanics into the mainstream medical field, 25 years ago. So you really want to look there. You want to look at your shoes, and you want to also look at the strengthening and the physical therapy side. But orthotics are a big deal. You want to try something over the counter, but you're a long-term runner, get serious and see sports podiatry. Samantha says something we talked about a little bit today. You know, what will happen to tackle football? Samantha, that's society's great dilemma. I don't know. We know what we know. It's not good what we know. More and more parents are deciding, I will not allow my son to play. This is a real problem. It doesn't mean if this boy plays football, he's going to have brain injury problems. Doesn't mean that, but it might. and it's a collision sport. So the at the professional level, maybe we'll pay gladiators millions of years and millions of dollars a year and have them play. But this is a dilemma. As we know, we always knew, you know, your knees, your back, your shoulders, your elbows, you're going to get busted up if you play a lot of tackle football. What we did not know was this whole brain-related, concussion-related nightmare. Allison says, I coach figure skaters, talk orthotics. Allison, it's one of my biggest bragging points. The 2010 Men's Olympic figure skating gold medalist grew up in Naperville, Illinois, Evan Lysacek. He was 10 years old when I put orthotics in his skates. 12 years, 13 years later, he was the best in the world, the gold medalist. And I had been doing it for 10 years before I saw him. It's one of my subspecialties is when done properly, orthotics are always a step up in the world of figure skating. Very often, and most of the time, it's the reason I'm prescribing orthotics. It's because something hurts. Your son or daughter, students' knees hurt or their ankles hurt, or something else hurts, and orthotics are a weapon to try to calm this down, and they're very, very, very successful, or preventing recurrence, very successful. But even just as important is all aspects of skating improve, edging, balance, stability, speed, jumping. It's a big step up. Check it out. Go to the website. You can read all about orthotics. Wow, we're out of time. So I want to thank everybody for listening. And we will catch you next week. It's the Sports Doctor.